The 4th of July is just around the corner, so take cover. Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture will be heard from coast to coast, complete with fireworks and cannons. But how did a Russian composition depicting the rout of Napoleon's army end up as the unofficial soundtrack for our most American holiday? NPR's Scott Simon got the answer from two experts.
Keith Lockhart, the famed music director of the Boston Pops Maestro, thanks for being with us.
Scott, it's a pleasure.
And David Mugar, who is executive producer of the Boston Pops Fireworks Spectacular, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you, Scott.
So, Mr. Mugar, this all traces back to you and the great Arthur Fiedler?
Yes, it does, back to the year of 1973. The concerts being held on the Esplanade were declining in popularity, and they needed something to jumpstart their interest to the public. And for some reason, I just thought of the idea of having the 1812 Overture played the next July 4th of 1974, and suggested the idea to Arthur, and he thought that would sound great.
I mean, most people want to put a little pop in their concert. You know, they're thinking of balloon animals or, you know, something like that for the kids. What made you think of cannons?
Well, actually, I believe they're scored. Keith, you'd know that. I'm not sure whether Tchaikovsky has it in the musical score or not. I think
yes,
he does.
Yes, the piece was originally intended, as you probably know, Scott, to celebrate the Russian victory over the French in their War of 1812, not even our War of 1812. It's a kind of an unusual piece for its time. It was never Tchaikovsky's favorite piece of his own, far from it, actually. But it was meant for big outdoor festivals and includes parts for cannons and for church bells. And since we were in a big outdoor space where it was possible to fire off cannons and to ring live church bells up and down the Back Bay area of Boston, I think they thought, well, that's if there's any piece that's going to draw some great outdoor interest, it's the 1812 Overture.
Just occurs to me as we're sitting here, Maestro, have you ever conducted this piece in Russia?
No. It's a very interesting question, and I'll tell you a little bit of a story that has nothing to do with that. In my score, I've done the piece, as you can imagine, for 19 straight years here in Boston, done it several other times. Of course, it's a signature piece for the Boston Pops. But the original score that I learned from as an eager young conductor the first time I had to cover this work is missing the Tsarist hymn. I had to have it put back in. And what I found out about this, did a little digging and figured out it was a Soviet edition from the kind of late Stalinist era, and they had purged the Tsarist hymn. The Marseillaise was still in there. The French music was still in there, but they had just conveniently left it out, and that was such a strange transposition of politics and music.
Don't hear a good Tsarist anthem as much as you used to, do you?
No, they've kind of gone out of favor. But there's at least one that that people know, and that's the opening chorale to 1812.
Who gets to fire the cannons?
Well, it's done by the Massachusetts National Guard, and as a throwback to a lot of memories on the Esplanade, we've been friendly with Peter Fiedler, an official with Boston University.
And Arthur and Fiedler's son.
Yes. Sorry. Thank you, Keith.
And he also looks with every passing year more like his father.
Sometimes
we're just going to put him on the stage and pretend that Arthur Fiedler has joined us again.
So I asked Peter to help conduct the cannons, and he loves to do it and plays a major role there in the 16 cannon shots required at the end of the 1812 Overture.
19 times. Maestro, you ever get tired of this piece?
Well, it is a great tradition. It's very funny that because of Boston doing this, it has become ubiquitous. And really, if you go to any small town orchestra in the country, it's considered de rigueur that you perform the 1812 Overture during a July 4th concert. And most people don't know, of course, where that comes from. The fact is, though, it's become an expected part, along with great patriotic songs and the Sousa March, the Stars and Stripes Forever, of what we do. And it's wonderful to get a 500,000 people so excited about a celebration with an orchestra at its center and heart.
Let me ask you both a question without putting you on the spot. Are you both Red Sox fans?
Oh, very much so.
Yes.
Are you ever tempted to turn the cannons toward Yankee Stadium?
I don't think they have that kind of a range, and there are blanks, and besides, that would be an unsportsmanlike thing to do.
Keith Lockhart, the famed music director of the Boston Pops, and David Mugar, executive producer of the Boston Pops Fireworks Spectacular, joining us from WBUR. Gentlemen, thank you. Have a wonderful 4th of July.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. You
as
too.
Well.
And this is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Chris Benderev and produced by Gemma Waters, Caitlin Dickerson, Connor Donovan, Oliver Dearden, Sarah Ventry, and Nayantara Mukherjee. Barry Hardiman and Miranda Kennedy edit the program. Our technical director is Brian Jarbo, with technical assistance from Stu Rushfield. Today's show was produced by Ned Wharton and edited by Bridget McCarthy. Our interns are Emily Files and Catherine Thornton. The senior supervising producers of Weekend Edition are Sarah, Lucy Oliver, and Tom Bullock. I'm Lynn Nearing.